Couple things going on here before we get to Rex Hudler at 5:20. Get us all hyped on the Royals, even though last night was a dud. The two clips that are generating some interest from our Gene Taylor interview yesterday. I thought by far the more interesting part of the conversation was what Chris Kleiman is going to do with scholarships and transfer portal. But what's really got everybody going, exit and reentry versus alcohol in the stadium for football games. Here's what Gene Taylor had to say.
We're going to go with exit and reentry again like we have in the past. You know, all those things that our fans enjoy. You know, we're probably not going to have stadium-wide alcohol sales because we're going to be doing the exit and reentry. But we are going to, you know, create, with the new south end zone, there might be an opportunity to create a kind of a plaza area that we can control, and people can grab a beer inside the stadium, kind of like we do in the Wabash Cannonball area and the North Terrace. But we're still working through some of those things.
I have tried to put myself in the fans' shoes here, okay? Because what I will tell you is that I think 3 years from now, 5 years from now, this is going to be a thing of the past. Frankly, like it probably should be. Like you're living on borrowed time with this exit and reentry thing. That's not, you can't do that basically anywhere. Exit and come back in. Like I'm getting people texting me about, like, you can't even do that at high school games. Not concerts, not any other entertainment option. So like I understand why people like it, but that's not something that you're guaranteed. This is not an inalienable right to be able to exit and re-enter. And I'm not a fan. I'm very detached from this. I was surprised that it generated as much discussion as it was. My opinion, being in my seat right now, someone that's not a fan, I'd say let the university make potentially seven figures in revenue from this. Let's improve the damn atmosphere in the third quarter instead of it just being lifeless for an entire quarter at a place that prides itself on what kind of an atmosphere is here. And then we'll sell beer in the stadium and get rid of exit and reentry and update to the, you know, what, a 21st century. Okay? Now, I've tried to put myself in the fan's shoes. But I can't get away from that take. Like, even if I'm a fan, even if tomorrow I left for a different job and I'm coming back to games and I'm going to be a fan and I'm thinking about this, I'll pay $16 to enjoy two beers at the game as opposed to drinking them for free for 30 minutes in the parking lot at halftime, because I know what I truly want deep down is I want a product that is still going to create events that will be cool events for me to attend. And that means they need to win. And much like a practice facility that may take up a couple of parking spots would be a sacrifice that I would say, well, it's a tough break. That sucks. That's an inconvenience for me. But I know that that's something that will really help the program. I'll make that sacrifice so that, hey, maybe 10 years from now, they're winning 8 or 9 games a year instead of 4 or 5. And I'm more inclined to come anyway. Same deal here. If it means they have extra money, and it sounds like things have been a bit tight, obviously, with the pandemic, they have extra money to help out Taylor Brandt, bring in some better cats. We're all frustrated right now with the recruiting. If they can do something, put some money toward helping that out, or some facilities that might bring in better kids, if they're going to be making, say, $700,000 a year, something like that, from alcohol sales, yeah, I'm going to make that sacrifice to pay my $16 to get the beers. Because that's the general expectation that I have when I go to a sporting event anyway, or a concert, or whatever it's going to be. And even if, like, when I think about my time as a fan, which, by the way, did include college, prime drinking years, the memories that I hold most dear are the crazy, insane moments in the stands. Like, when they were full of people. Like 98 Nebraska or 2000 Nebraska when the stands are full, or 2000 Oklahoma, the block punt. Like the stadium was full and going berserk. And so I don't like the idea of, hey, I get to go slam a few Natterdays, but it means that half the stadium's going to be empty in the third quarter. No thanks. I'll make the sacrifice. I'm there to watch a game, be in a sick atmosphere, and hope that my team, like, win games, win football games. That's what I care about ultimately. So I'm sorry, I can't get to that place. I'm also not going to freak out about the decision being made for this year just to go ahead with exit and reentry. Again, when fans, I think, have been very strong in saying, like, they really want this, and you're worried about how many fans are going to come back after a pandemic, like, that's fine. I get it. And I also feel like I know where this is going, so that helps assuage any kind of frustration I would have about it being this year. But I can't get on your level, man. I can't get on your level. I know that you want the convenience of something that you've had for a while and you come to expect. I can't do it personally.
John, with all due respect, you know, back in 98 and 2000, when those memories happened, you weren't legally allowed to drink yet, all right? So you weren't making your own memories in the parking lot yet, all right?
Okay, but I was in college.
In 98 and 2000?
No, I'm saying I was a fan in college. I wasn't in the press box in college, and it wasn't the tailgating that I was there for. I was there for the game. I wanted the team to win.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, absolutely. I was always the one where, yeah, I would go and, like, enjoy the tailgating, but I had to get into the game. That's just the kind of fan I was. I got to watch the Cats play in person. I'd make the trip every Saturday from Concordia to Manhattan. I'd buy a student ticket and go sneak into the student section because I wasn't a student, but I wanted the rowdiness of the student section. I wanted to be a part of it, and so that's what I did. Also, my old man, he's a cheap guy, and I get on him sometimes about this because people, they're too worried about the price of a beer or something at the game, you know, $7-$8. I don't know how much they are. That's another piece of the puzzle that I'm a little bit clueless about. But here's the deal. After the game, you're driving home. You're not going to be in the car. Your first thought's not going to be, man, I really shouldn't have spent $8 on that beer. That was just too expensive. What a big mistake that was. Do not worry about the price. That is the last thing you're going to worry about when you leave the stadium. Have fun with it. People used to sneak beers into stadiums, into the bill. I remember when people used to do that all the time, you know, before the metal detectors. Can't really do that anymore. But guess what you don't have to do anymore? Don't have to try to sneak in the booze. It's right there.
Well, it's a shame. I mean, I heard a lot of people talking about back in their day in the student section. Yeah, you know, you sneak in a flask or something like that. That sounds great. That's a great compromise for everybody here. And I mean, like that, those are the ones that college kids are the ones that should really be upset about this and like exit and reentry. I can't level as much with the older fan here. Like, it's the college kid that's 19 years old that's going to be like, well, now I'm totally screwed. But really, I've always been, and I think most fans just view it in a very short-sighted manner, where I've always been somebody, I'm just like, whatever the athletic department needs to win, which money helps winning, doesn't guarantee it, but it helps. And I think there's such an attitude of, fans have this entitlement of like, I expect my athletic department to do everything possible to win games and to not be cheap and to not accept mediocrity and pound the table, go do win at all costs. But then it comes back around to where there's like some element of just a little bit of sacrifice on the fans' end that can help the athletic department do that. And it's like, well, no, I mean, you guys can't do that. You can't do it at my expense if I want to hop out to the back of the truck for some baked beans and Natterdays. You know, I mean, so that's all I'm saying here. Just don't. That's a generalization, assuming that there would be people where that's the overlap, but there has to be based on like the reaction that I'm seeing to this, man. So like this, you can eat the baked beans. It'll still be there later. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. I thought you had something else to add.
Oh no, I thought it's funny you went with baked beans and that. You're stuck on the whole Natterday things. You still drink those?
Well, I don't go out and buy them, but it seems like if a great tailgate beer.
I mean, if I would think Busch Light would be the popular tailgate beer these days. It seems like that's what the college kids want is Busch Light. I mean, my God.
Well, if you want to know the truth, and I mean, I'll just come clean on it. I mean, this just happens. I just saw somebody earlier today in the discussion, I don't even remember if it was social media or message boards or whatever. I've just read a lot of back and forth on this. And somebody, I think, used those two exact terms, like Natterdays and baked beans. And it stuck with me as being funny, and so it just regurgitated out here. All the best radio out there best radio bits, anything like that, stolen. So, you know, of course it's stolen.
K-State, if you want the fans to stick around, just start selling Busch Light in the stadiums. The big one.
And fans sticking around. Like, I just don't. Can we take some pride in that? Like, everybody looks around the stadium in the third quarter and understands what it looks like.
There's no way you're having more fun out at that tailgate, sitting in a chair, drinking a beer, than actually being in the game with the atmosphere. I mean, it may not be as fun as, you know, a non-conference game where you're beating the crap out of somebody, but, you know, most of the games anyway are non-conference matchups.
Well, it's just
conference matchups.
There's just a lot of hypocrisy with both of it. Like, win at all costs, do whatever it takes, except no, don't get this free revenue stream because of my convenience. And then win at all costs, do whatever it takes, except we're going to talk about how great this atmosphere is, except I'm going to stay out of my car for most of the third quarter and allow that to happen so that the atmosphere is not going to be as great. It just, come on. Like, it's pretty simple. And we'll get there. We're going to get there. It's going to be okay. I'm not going to throw too much of a fit about it this year. But in my brain, I'm not getting past any of that. So I'm sorry if you're somebody that does not want your convenience to be upset, but let's all think about the bigger picture. Winning some football games. Let's all get hyped about the Royals with Rex Hudler next. Well, no better way to get hyped up about the Royals than talking to Rex Hudler of Fox Sports Kansas City. You hear him every night on the TV broadcast. Well, hopefully you do. Obviously, that's a different story this year, but I have very much enjoyed it as always, and I appreciate you taking the time for us, Hud. 9-6 start for the first place Royals in the AL Central. How fun has this been to watch the team so far?
Always fun, no matter what the record is or where they are in the standings. And John, I love being with you too, man. I missed so many radio shows across the country last year, and you know when the pandemic hit, it was just a really crazy year. But we did change overall. We're not Fox anymore. We're Bally Sports, and they'll figure out and they'll work out some of the glitches that are going on right now with the streaming and all the stuff. Because believe me, our new owner John Sherman, he wants everyone to be able to watch his product. And why wouldn't you? It's a fine product, and it looks like we're going to have a good summer, John.
Man, Rex, that is a fair point, and that is a habit that is going to be really difficult for me to break. And realize, I watch Bally Sports every night. I see all the commercials 100 times. I can't believe that I just did that, but you are correct. It is Bally and not Fox Sports. With this start, well, let me ask you this, because I'm curious about this from like a broadcast standpoint. How different is life still for you as we are in a pandemic with COVID? Like, as a broadcaster, I understand how important it is to be talking to everybody on a regular basis, right, to get information. Are you still able to do that? Can you hang out at BP? Like, how does that work with COVID now?
No, John, unfortunately. And that's one of the greatest parts of the broadcast. There are many, many positives of the job that I get to have. It's a total pleasure and a blessing to be able to have a spot like this. You know, but I tell you, one of the best is to meet the players, the new players on the other side. My pass gets me in the clubhouse at certain times when they're open. I can go, of course, in our side. I try not to bug our guys too much. I sit in the dugout at least during normal times, and I would sit in the dugout. And when the player would walk out, I would get him, talk to him a little bit, you know, because I don't need to sit down. You know, my good friend Joe Goldberg, you know, he has business in there. He gets interviews from players. He does a lot of the work in there. And so if I don't have any business in there, I stay out. But I can tell you, though, that going to the other side and introducing myself to a Hershiser, I'll never forget it, Oral, C.C. Sabathia, you know, all their big stars. I go in there, and a lot of these guys I broadcasted their entire careers. So it's so fun to go in there and say hi to them and to love on these guys. And the new ones, I say, hey, how you doing? I'm a color commentator for the Royals, and you're going to come up four times tonight, and I get the chance to talk to you, talk about you. Would you like for me to say good things about you tonight? You know, if you do, then give me some love, man. I'm in the love business. You give me a little bit of love, I'll give you twice the love on the air. And so that's fun for me. And over the years now, in 20 years of broadcasting, I've been able to see these guys' career. Whenever they see me, they wave. I mean, you know, it's a privilege to be able to get close to these guys. I miss that. We don't have any of that last year, this year yet, but I have heard signs that it's possible that we could travel with the team again, because that's what we can bring to the people who listen to our broadcast. Our fans need the best. They need to, you know, me to. They want to hear how what Danny Duffy had to say. You know, I talked to him and he told me this. So when we don't do that, John, and I don't have the privilege to do that, it really hurts the broadcast, in my opinion. And I'm able to find stuff and I get Zooms. Mike Swanson does a great job. He's the media relations president, vice president of media relations, and he sets up these. Like, I've already heard Matheny. We heard Tyler Zuber today, but that's two guys. Normally, I can go in there and talk to any 26 guys I want to, and write stuff down and bring it up to the broadcast at 7 when we come on the air. So that's missing in the broadcast, and I'm sure the fans, you know, miss some of that too. But I think it's going to change, and I'm hopeful it will change. Now, this is the first year in 32 years of marriage between my beautiful wife Jennifer and I that we've ever spent over 15 months at home together. And because we've been in baseball for 40, and so I can tell you that that's been awkward a little bit. My wife is waiting, looking forward to me going on a 6-day road trip so she could have her house back for a little while. But I can tell you, I've never been in love with her more than I have now. So look, if the team wants to go on the road, and Ryan and I can come to the ballpark and do games without going on the road, and that's the way it's going to be the rest of the time, hey, look, I'm okay with it.
Love it. Got to look on the positive of everything, and you're the best around at doing that. We know that. Rex Hudler is talking with us. One quick question on that. You're talking about meeting other players across the league. Who is, I know you haven't been able to talk to him in a little while, but who is to you the best personality in the league that's not a Kansas City Royal?
Oh, man, there's so many. But I can tell you right now, without even hesitating, Brett Phillips on the other side today.
Okay.
You know, he's fabulous. Gosh, there's a lot of guys that are fun. I love, I love Alex Cora. I like Pedroia when they were, you know, CeCe Sabathia, like I mentioned him, you know, fun. Let me tell you about Oral Hershiser. Excuse me, not Hershiser, Kershaw. Let me just tell you the class this kid has. It was several years ago when the Dodgers came here. I don't know when that was, probably 3 or 4 years ago. And I wanted to meet him, and he just had a plate of food, and he just set his tray down, and he was sitting in a chair. He just started to sit down, and I walked up, and he looked at me, and I said, hey, I just wanted to meet you. No, not right now, not right now. You don't have to. He gets up, walks around the table, comes and looks at me eye to eye, sticks out his hand, and shakes my hand. And that told me right there that this guy is a real, legitimate human being. He's a guy that cares. He understands. I mean, it would be easy for him to say, hey, I'll talk to you later after I'm done eating. But, you know, a lot of these guys have a lot of class, and they appreciate us who work the game because they know that we're up there to share with our fans and to give them love. So I tell you what, a lot of great personalities. Managers are fun. Coaches are fun. So it's a gas. I tell you, whenever I get to the ballpark, I leave my trouble and my problems in my car, and I get out of the car, and man, we got ball. And I come up here to this broadcast booth where I'm sitting right now, and I look at that field, the big board here at the K, the fountains, and I get tickled. I get tickled, man. I giggle. I'm like a kid every day. And I'm 60 years old, but man, I feel like I'm 15 or 20 and just can't wait to go out and play ball. So, John, thanks for letting me share that with your great listeners there in Manhattan. And Fizz is in the booth next door. I just talked with Fizz. You're a K-State alum, and we're all excited about tonight's game.
That's right. That's right. Fizz, fellow Wildcat over there. Is this team, Rex, how legitimate of a contender do you think this team is? Is it a hot start, or is this going to be for real this year with the Royals?
Gosh, you know, 60-game season like we had last year, I'd give you a better prediction, but overall, the whole season, man, it is so hard. The hardest thing ever is to predict baseball. You know, you can throw your guys. You can throw your guys out there. You can throw teams out there, but really, nobody knows anything. On paper, we look good on paper this year. The acquisitions that Dayton Moore got, they're all legitimate with postseason experience. They have, you know, pedigree. These guys have done things in their careers. And that's probably the greatest thing they can bring here is that postseason experience. So on paper, the Royals, we knew they were going to be better. But until you get in that, you know, a clubhouse with each other, go through spring training, especially not a lot of new guys coming in, you got to get to know them. It takes some time in this game because you're with them all the time in that locker room. And but having an experienced manager like Mike Matheny, who's been to the World Series, you know, and was a player and a man's man, really, if I could say that. I mean, a four-time Gold Glover, just a stud. And, you know, 13-year career. And then Cal Eldred, his buddy, is the pitching coach. You know, those two guys got so much experience. And so they've spent some time. And as a player, you inherit your manager's personality. And what we're seeing from Matheny is that he's enthusiastic. He's celebrating victories. He's praising his guys. He's staying with them. He's not talking about the great young pitching we have in the minors because he thinks that'll take away from the guys that are here. This guy's really a smart guy, and he's instilled a nice personality in this team, a winning mentality. You know, he's dressed wins in spring training, which most managers really don't care that much about it because it doesn't count, but he knew it was important we get off to a good start. But now that we've started the season, he's not saying, hey, come on, we can't get off to a bad start. That pressures players. So Matheny, having been there and done that, it's huge. And so the players are all responding to him. They're responding to the way he manages, just like you would your own father.
Rex Hudler is talking with us. I want to ask a question real quick before I let you go about Danny Duffy, who's, I love Duffy. I always have. And he looks like a different, it's only three starts. I understand sample size in baseball. But, man, he looks like a different kind of cat out there this year. What are you seeing right now that's so different about Danny?
Well, obviously his off-season throwing program, it's been well documented that he threw a lot more than he ever did because he was healthy because of the short season before that last year. And then, he's pitching for a contract too. You know, he's not going to say that, but I'll say it for him. Being a former player, when your contract's up, you know, you're saying, hey, Ryan, what's next? And his focus is better, too. So, I mean, he last night, when he got out of that inning, when they turned a double play, you could see some emotion from him, chest bump and Salvi. And then he got out of another inning where they started to get some guys on, and he was able to get out of it because in the past, he would have big innings. He would give up big innings every single year and almost every start. And me and Monty would always say, Duffy needs to stay away from the big inning. Well, he's not letting that happen. He's finishing guys off. He has a 2-mile-an-hour average on his fastball. That's helping him. That's a pitch, especially in the cold, that hitters don't care for when it's at that velocity, 94, 95. And he's got excellent secondary pitches. And we're seeing the best of Danny Duffy here at the end. But, you know, if he keeps pitching like this, there'll be somebody out there that'll want him.
No doubt about that. Rex, always enjoy talking with you. The enthusiasm is contagious, and we'll keep watching on Bally Sports. Bally Sports, not Fox Sports, Bally Sports. We appreciate the time as always, Rex. Have fun tonight.
You got it, John. Thanks for letting me share, bud.
There is Rex Hudler, the GOAT. Love him. Rex Hudler from Bally Sports, Kansas City. You can watch the game tonight. You can listen to the game here on News Radio KMAN as well with pregame coverage starting at 6:30. Okay, we got to check the results of this poll. I asked everybody, been a hot topic here. Would you rather have exit and reentry, or would you rather have alcohol sales in stadium? The people speak next. You've been listening to me speak. The people speak next. All right, here are the poll results. Over 1,200 votes. This is poll numbers. I know I can see how passionate everybody is about this just by looking at the poll results here. 58%. Of 1,200 K-State fans say they would rather see alcohol sales in stadium than exit and re-entry. Thank you, people.
The people have spoken.
Thank you. The people have spoken. The younger crowd. Twitter, younger demo.
Yes, John's followers, the only young people.
The younger crowd says alcohol sales in stadium. Good. Good, good, good. It's not what's going to be happening for this year, according to Gene Taylor, although there will be some level of compromise here, it sounds like, we're trying to figure out something in the south end zone to be like a beer garden. But I just, exit and reentry crowd, you can celebrate for now, but that boulder of progress is moving. 2 years ago, 60% of FBS schools were selling booze in stadium. It's coming. It's going to happen eventually. It's too much revenue to just leave on the table year after year. And you are literally in one of the only places in America where you can go to an event and walk out and leave at a portion of it and drink in your car and then come back. It just, that's not a luxury that you're going to have many places. I don't think it will be around for very long, but hey, you know what? Celebrate with a Natter Day for me. Don't do Bush Light or whatever Mitch was trying to preach. Just celebrate with a Natter Day for me for this year.
You might have to remind me here because I can't clearly remember, but wasn't re-entry taken away from this last season when the capacity was limited already?
Mitch, let's be honest here. I was the one that I didn't even ask follow-up questions to Gene about this yesterday because it just was ho-hum to me. I'm not paying attention to this because it doesn't really affect me. So I have no idea.
Well,
I have no idea. Couldn't tell you.
I'm pretty sure. First of all, I thought you were about to get mad at me for something.
No.
Your tone was like, how dare you ask me that question? No, I'm pretty sure reentry was not allowed because they were selling beer in the stadium. And, man, I don't remember ever hearing about any complaints because if I did, I mean, you would see it out there somewhere. And I don't think it was that big of a deal. I mean, when you maximize it to the 53,000, yeah, there's going to be some more. Somebody just clocked in. That's good. Somebody's making some money coming to do their tracks.
Well, it's because you guys have the studio door wide open.
It is hot in here, dude. We lost the remote for the AC, and it was left on like 75.
Okay.
So it gets a little steamy here. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. It seemed like it went pretty well for the limited capacity last year.
Yeah, well, and look, I know like another part of this I've seen some of the discussion about is like, oh, you know, are there people like concerned about being around booze and their kids and family? And I can't see that being that big of a factor in this. I mean, it's like you're going to a game. There's probably going to be alcohol there. There's probably going to be people drinking there. I don't think just having beer at the stadium is going to turn it into like going to Arrowhead. Because I understand, like going to Arrowhead, going to an NFL game is a different kind of a ball game. The things that I've seen on T-shirts of people at Arrowhead Stadium before, let alone the things that I've heard from people, it is different. I get it; it's different.
I mean, after the national anthem, you still hear the Chiefs at Bill Snyder Family Stadium.
Well, I mean, okay, but frankly, I don't think that's going to be enough of a consideration here to really warrant any kind of change. You're still going to sit like two. Again, LSU made $2.2 million. We just saw the athletic department move a game to Arlington in favor of like, hey, let's pick up an extra seven-figure payday here. Take a home game from here to there to do that. I think you can see where this is going eventually, even if it's not going to happen this year. Too much money. Too much money. Speaking of the Chiefs, my guy Patrick Mahomes. I could not be more in love with him than I already am, but he found a way to surprise me and make me feel those butterflies again today with this tweet that he had at Tom Brady. So Salvador Perez lost a bet with Brett Phillips, the aforementioned, who Rex Utler was just talking about. Lost a bet with Brett Phillips, who now plays for the Tampa Bay Rays, over the Super Bowl. So Salvi had to wear a Tom Brady jersey yesterday out on the field at the K during batting practice. And this is what Salvi had to say when he was caught on camera wearing the jersey.
Patrick Mahomes, the best.
He said Patrick Mahomes is the best.
What was that?
He said Patrick Mahomes is the best. Okay, there's a caption.
Jeez.
There's a caption under the video.
Patrick Mahomes, the best.
That was, man, it wasn't just the accent, but just the quality of the video. That was like the equivalent. That was the audio version of the Bigfoot footage.
Okay, well, yes, whatever. I just wanted to give you some insight here. It's better than nothing. I could have just said he walked by in a Tom Brady jersey and he said he's waving his finger and says Patrick Mahomes is the best because he's just he's paying his bet and he doesn't want people to think that he's really a Brady guy. Well, Tom Brady, that little punk, he quote tweeted it and said, nah, I think actions always speak louder than words, with a wink face. And so Patrick Mahomes came in and quote tweeted that and said, I guess we will see in 20 years. with the little cool emojis, the sunglasses. Great tweet. Dude, he's just perfect. Like, he knows he's great with social media, and he knows exactly when to pick his spots, and that's the perfect way to pick his spot and the perfect way to go about addressing it. Making it still fun and playful, but at the same time showing off the competitiveness of, like, hey, dude, give me 20 years and let's see. Look at this start that I'm off to. Like, let's see. Love it. Love it. Not just from I know that that's coming from a competitive spot with him. You know, the same guy that's counting fingers when he's going up against Mitch Trubisky and the Bears. You know that that dude is thinking of that in a competitive way. But at the same time, he's also making it fun. Like, playful and fun. And adding to, like, some rivalry. And, like, that sports needs that. Like, we need more of that. We don't need the filtered, like, oh, he's a great competitor, blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to give you coach speak answers when I talk about the other quarterback. No, like, let's have a little fun back and forth. Let's do it. I love the bet with Salvi and Brett Phillips, too. Like, that spices everything up. It's all great. And he's so damn savvy. Like, Mahomes is just so savvy. He's like, he is the perfect modern athlete. Perfect. He's so good.
Perfect.
He's so damn good at what he does.
I mean, Super Bowl 55 would argue that.
If he had any semblance of an offensive line, Mitch, any semblance of a healthy offensive line, don't get me going down that rabbit hole. The Super Bowl was not Mahomes' fault. Almost completed one of the greatest passes I've ever seen because he had just, it would have been the greatest pass in Super Bowl history had it been caught. This shows off just how savvy he is. And it's why, I mean, obviously he can play, but if he didn't have the savvy to go with it, he would not be a $500 million man right now. I mean, this even goes back to like his first year in the league. He didn't do any kind of media. He didn't do any endorsements because they said, like, hey, he needs to just come in and learn and focus on this. Like, he gets it. He gets it. Every step of the way, he gets it. And I know you're rolling your eyes there at me, but it takes having that kind of savvy when you come into the league and understanding I need to sit behind Alex Smith and I need to not fill myself up with these other distractions. I think that all plays into the same thing here. But now I understand my brand. I understand who I am. And I understand how I can do this in the correct way without just being a Richard on Twitter and going after Tom Brady too hard. Finding the right touch there. The right touch. I just love him. I just love him.
Oh, just wait. He's a new father. The humor is going to take a little bit of a different turn now. You ready? Get ready for some dad jokes.
Dad jokes? All right. Well, how about we get ready for Jabroni of the Week next?
You jabronis hit the jackpot.
That jabroni you have sitting in your studio.
Ow.
Is this Jabroni's name?
Jabroni of the Week.
It's Tuesday. You know what that means. It's time for another round of Jabroni of the Week. Three dishonorable mentions, and then I'll culminate with Jabroni of the Week, John. I'm surprised you're not doing your normal stick here.
No, I'm not, because we had something planned out and you didn't do it.
Oh my God, you're supposed to just interrupt me and no, he's like, no, I got this. I got this.
Because you were I said come out playing the music.
No, that's not what we said.
That is exactly what I said. I said come out playing the music.
Play the intro.
No, I said play the music and then we'll get to the intro. The music is paramount here. The music is the whole thing.
Well, now I need to know what you came up with.
What do you mean what I came... What was the song you
threw
out? The
whole bit.
There was no... The bit was... The bit was, it's 420, so you were going to play... I don't even remember what song it was.
Hits and
I was
from a Bong by Cypress Hill.
There you go.
I have a bed here, and you're going to do like a high impression of what I do. But the thing.
All right, why don't you just.
I was still trying to set you up for it. And you dropped the ball.
No, I didn't drop anything. This didn't happen.
You dropped it, you fumbled it, you kicked it around.
Pretend that this set here. Catch pregame coverage at the Royals at 6:30. That's a game sports update. I'm Mitch Fortner. Jabroni of the Week's coming up next. Now hit the music. This is Hits from the Bong?
Yes. With the bong rips edited out.
This just isn't working. Just do Jabroni of the Week. It's 420, everybody. It's the weed holiday, so we were going to make a joke about that, but this has been a disaster.
Anyway, I'm going to skip a dishonorable mention because we're short on time here. My first of two dishonorable mentions going to be – the first one's going to be Dana Dimmel for a show cause. Read about it.
Dana Dimmel got a one-year show cause, yeah.
Second is going to be Wesleyan University out of Connecticut, left fielder Dylan Judd. He had a fly ball out to left field. He was running towards the wall in left, trying to maybe try to rob a home run. Well, his teammates didn't help him out very much because he ended up just bashing right through the wall in left field, completely destroyed a portion of it. He didn't make the catch, and then the outfield wall was just broken. Piece of it was missing.
Yeah, I saw the video, and I was like, it's very jarring. Like, guy just goes flying through the wall.
But the thing is, like, you'll see it at K-State games. You'll hear Chris Ceballos behind the plate yelling, 3-2-1, when the ball's coming down. He'll yell if you have room or you have no room. Like, that's leadership. And Wesleyan University did not have that kind of Chris Ceballos leadership.
Because they're jabrones.
My last dishonorable mention is going to go to Ted Teague. He is of Alan Samuels Auto Group in Waco. So Baylor held a parade to celebrate their national championship. Well, Ted Teague, he showed off a Baylor-themed Jeep in the parade, and he was going to give it to head coach Scott Drew. And then he started talking about, you know, what Scott Drew could do with that Jeep.
So we rustled up this Jeep Wrangler. We lifted it up, wheels and tires, put a nice little wrap on it so Coach Scott can enjoy it and go use it to recruit, pull some people out of the hood. Yeah, and tell me, what was the cringy.
And that was on a local TV station, live on TV. And his immediate reaction is like, whoops, I sounded totally racist there. I was trying to keep that private.
Oh, God. Come on, man. It's 2021. Come on. Yeah, that was bad. That was bad. There's a bigger jabroni than this guy?
Yeah, I'm going to give it to the Super League. The Super League is my jabroni of the week. The news coming out yesterday that 12 clubs, England, Spain, Italy, basically the big clubs of soccer, we're going to come together and create this Super League, and that completely steals from the rich tradition that is soccer in Europe, from where these clubs came from, and now they're a corporate entity where these owners are just doing it all for greed. And they forget, you know, where these clubs came from, that from the working class that created them, but they've been bought out in the last 10 to 15 years from rich people, and they're doing all this to make a quick buck, you know? Well, Manchester City has begun the process of pulling out due to the backlash, and nobody has been louder from this backlash than the fans of these clubs that are joining the Super League.
Man City, huh? That's my squad. That, you know, 10 years ago when I went through my FIFA phase, that was my squad, was Man City.
Man City's not the first to pull. Well, they are the first to start their process of backing out, but Chelsea is now doing the same.
Yeah, like, if you're not real familiar with this, imagine if, like, USC, Alabama, Notre Dame, and, like, you know, 10 schools like that decided to just form their own league and play each other every year. Best way I can describe to you what's going on?